stand at the podium.
All right, Mr. Harris, if you could introduce the next item.
Go back. And if you want. Yes.
Yeah, where are we in time? Oh, we're doing great. Well, I think we're a little ahead of schedule for some reason.
Don't mention that.
So I would suggest that you go ahead and do board member reports if you'd like.
Okay, sure. I will start on my left, Mayor Delgado.
Nothing to report.
Mr. Young?
I have something to report. Let me get my notes. I attended, along with Howard Kolb, a Santa Barbara County Board of Supervisors meeting where the agenda item was the county's adoption of their LAMP. And remember, this has kind of come before us a couple times back and forth. In fact, they were the first LAMP the only LAMP, I think, that previewed itself to us. And so it was great having Howard with me. The board ended up voting unanimously to adopt the LAMP that staff had prepared. Of course, it had been developed in combination with our staff, and Jean-Pierre and myself had attended a joint meeting with county personnel and our staff so that we could get their draft fine-tuned to meet what we ultimately think we're going to want. Some of the interesting issues that came up was that one of the supervisors had wanted or questioned why the county itself couldn't provide more of a leadership role in the community and actually do their own designations of impaired groundwater bodies. That didn't get much traction with anybody else on the board. They like, I think, having the fact that a body removed from them is going to kind of do the grunt work on this and, you know, do the designations. Cost was an issue raised by another supervisor. How's this going to get paid for? What happens when we have homeowners that have a system that's not in compliance with the new requirements? And it was great having Howard there because he knew exactly what the answer was, and he was able to explain the state revolving loan program and how that would work and how that would kick in and how the county could start to access those funds in anticipation of the LAMP going into effect. A lot of other discussion took place. Howard and I were actually there from 9 to 12:15. Not on this issue alone, but our issue took up about 45 minutes, our agenda item. And so we will be seeing this come back to us, right, Ken? This is going to come back for?
I think we're looking at November is what we're planning on.
So, you know, I will say that the benefit in having a board member and a knowledgeable staff person attend another agency's agenda item dealing with one of our permits is really, really helpful because they did have very specific questions for not only myself but for Howard, and I think they felt a degree of comfort in hearing Howard explain how things work and what's going to happen, and I think that's why we got a unanimous vote out of them. So I mention that, Mr. Chair, because it's something for us to think about in the future when we have issues like this that might help and facilitate. And part of the outreach that I've always, during my tenure as chair, was trying to get us to do more and more of, which was, you know, extending ourselves to our regulated community, you know, in this context. So that's all I have to report.
Well, thank you, and thanks for assisting in Santa Barbara and, you know, I think also leveraging our individual geography, you know, helps because you have a good feel for, you know, the Santa Barbara County, you know, key activities.
Well, and I think that's the benefit of having board members, you know, throughout each of our counties, because each of us who live in these different counties hopefully has their finger on the pulse of what's going on and can help us accomplish what we want to do.
Yep. So thank you. On my right, Dr. Hunter.
Yes, hi, everyone. I was privileged to attend and participate on the drought panel that was organized by the California Public Policy Institute that was held in the Monterey area on August 18th, and joining with Congressman Farr and Andrew Fisher, a groundwater specialist at UC Santa Cruz, and also with Norm Groot, who is frequently participant in these hearings, representing the Farm Bureau. We had a very productive dialogue. It was really well attended, not surprisingly, as, of course, the drought issue in regional setting is, you know, looks, has very unique challenges and very important potential resources that are being reconsidered in light of what is the goal. The goals are changing in terms of short-term and long-term thinking, which is a great relief to hear from leaders, you know, at the local level, as well as from the federal level with Congressman Farr's input in beginning to initiate a new approach, a long-term approach, certainly with short-term and emergency and urgencies linked in with that, but it was a very invigorating dialogue and hopefully not the only one, but certainly an important start. And I think that from my perspective, it was an opportunity to – I was not invited as a member of the regional board. I was invited as a board trustee for the Planet Conservation League Foundation. And so I was able to speak to issues that I share in the work that I do both for the board and in my interests in supporting a number of ways in which PCLF is working to their primary mission is to assure quality of life and sustainability of environmental resources. And to that end, water quality is certainly a nexus. And in recognizing that communities, especially in the Central Coast where we rely so heavily on groundwater, that these are issues that affect us all. And I think I was very impressed with the way in which the local communities assembled their own leaders, their mayors were there to also affirm that these are new times calling for new solutions and in forming new alliances as well. And so it was, I think, something that I hope other regions will consider in assembling folks who have some expertise and who may be able to fashion and craft a new path forward, because certainly new collaborations are needed, different strategies are needed, and changing the paradigm is not going to be easy. It needs everybody at the table. So I will end, though, with one comment that, you know, I was very pleased to see that the California Public Policy Institute keynote speaker included in the overarching set of issues that are confronting all Californians includes the need to consider those who are residing in disadvantaged communities where water issues have been challenging all along. And at this point, the impacts that will continue to build for all of us will simply continue to increase in ways that these communities are not prepared to participate in the same way that where infrastructure is lacking, where governance is lacking. I mean, we have systems in place where we are able to coordinate in a very concerted way, you know, get into problem solving, make sure that water supplies are available where wells are going dry, where groundwater levels are dropping. But we do have to recognize and consider this is an opportunity, and I am one of those half full glass kind of people that, even in difficult times, I think this is the time to build in new strategies that incorporate and coordinate how we deal with disadvantaged communities. So those were my comments primarily on that evening, but it was a very, I thought, a good signal coming out of Monterey. They're a model. They have developed the infrastructure with Congressman Farr's leadership in his years as supervisor and then moving through the assembly. He had a lot to do with the fact that they have a centralized, nearly regional potential for organizing the solutions that need to be considered, and the collaboration and coordination that can go on is supported by that infrastructure. And the portfolio approach that they're, you know, really struggling to pull together involves recycling, it involves groundwater recharge, it involves desalination, and it involves conservation, first and foremost. And those, I think, are the four pillars for all communities everywhere. So if Monterey can continue to show us what that looks like, what do those dialogues look like, and how do people come to agreement when there's very serious economic costs to all of these things, certainly agriculture being a leading economic backbone of the Monterey region. This is a huge and serious problem. So I was very pleased to be on that panel, and I would look forward to seeing other communities. And those of you that are in the room today, if you have networks, you know, this is the kind of idea that needs to go forward, needs to get out to other areas, organize dialogues, organize community forums, and bring together people who have the ability to enter into the conversation. They might not have been in it all along. Water quality may not be something that is their priority, but it is now a priority for all of us. So let's see who we can bring to this discussion in the future. So that would be my report for this. I do have one comment. Sorry. John Robertson reminded me. We had an EJ, Environmental Justice Community, meeting and tour earlier in the year, and we were hoping to have a second one. And we now think there may be a potential for holding one sometime in mid-October to late October. So I think the staff will keep us all posted. I know some of you that did not attend the first tour had mentioned that you would be interested in knowing if a second tour is organized. And Mr. Moore, I hope you will extend that invitation to State Water Board. I appreciate the fact that you made the trek one more time into our region to listen and sit in on the discussion. It was very important to have your perspective at that table, and I hope that we will have a State Water Board, if not yourself, another State Water Board member who can come and help us understand just how complicated and all the shifts and changes going on with the agencies trying to coordinate and organize how we will move forward and best utilize our resources and bring everything we've got to bear, every tool in our kit to solve the problem and make sure that people have water. That's the bottom line. So thank you.
I have nothing to report for this meeting.
Thank you. Mrs. Cervantes.
Yes, I just wanted to report that at the end of August, August 27th or so, the Senate finally made my confirmation official for being on the Water Board.
Very good. Congratulations. All right. And in terms of my report on August the 3rd, I attended the wetland workshop, which was organized and coordinated by Mr. Steve Moore. This meeting was held in Sacramento and had representation from every region. And we discussed wetland, and often people think, you know, how can you talk about wetland during a drought? Well, you know, it serves two purposes. You know, the wetland certainly has certain gets challenged during droughts, but during storm events, it actually can assist in flood control and tidal surges. So it was a very, very valuable meeting. We had some interesting speakers. Then I attended on August the 13th a water symposium, which was organized by the County of San Luis Obispo, and this was held in the South County part of San Luis Obispo. And it had representation of every mayor of all the cities within the area and the individual water districts, and it had probably about 200 people attending this meeting, and it was all about water, drought, water conservation, and a local meteorologist also gave his update on the potential El Nino this year. Then on August the 19th, I had a hour-and-a-half meeting with Kay Mercer and Loa Zielinski, farm advisors, on the NOI for Tier 2 and 3 for this year. But more specifically, the conversation was about the impact of a drought in agriculture and some of the prediction of certain crops that this year are going to be drastically down, and the impact of a drought on soil chemistry because of lack of flushing of the salts build up on the soil. So that was the primary discussion that we had. On August the 27th, I attended a conference call in regard to the Santa Barbara lamp, the topic that Mr. Young discussed. So we had some pre-discussions in anticipation of Mr. Young attending that meeting with staff. On September the 2nd, I attended the Water Resource Advisory Committee of San Luis Obispo County. And very recently, this week, September 21st, I attended the Freeport-McMarin hearing associated with the exemption that Mr. Moore actually discussed, being one of the, you know, the first projects. Again, indeed, attended with about 200 people. Mr. Harris attended that meeting too, and Mr. Robinson was at the meeting. I would say the two key things that came out of it from, you know, public 3-minute concerns were, one, the beneficial use of water associated with oil extraction, and the second key item was overwhelming concern to assure that the oil extraction facilities would not contaminate drinking water wells, you know, in the surrounding area of the fields. I would say those were the two most reoccurring theme of people's concerns. So that's my report. Thank you.
You know, if I could add one thing, Jean, sure, here to my report, and I neglected to say that one of the issues that was briefly raised at the LAMP meeting in Santa Barbara was the question of how is the regional board going to designate impaired groundwater areas to fall under the regulations. And it's something that we should be aware of because it's going to come up, you know, as we go through all of these LAMPs and staff then goes through their designation process. Currently, staff does not have a process laid out with defined criteria. You know, we have the 303 delisted body process to use for surface waters, okay, which would be the, you know, the most closely related, you know, procedural mechanism we have, but it doesn't apply to groundwater. And so Howard is working to formulate a mechanism, you know, for us to use, for staff to use, and we hope it's going to be something that might have some state water board involvement or support.
In answering that, in fact, what I did, and Mr. Harris was copied on it, I reached out to Mr. Tom Howard, you know, who's the director of a water board, and also vice chair Fran, to review how perhaps the state board could take a statewide approach, because we're not going to be the only region that is impacted, and see if there could be some foundational set of guidelines associated with developing a LAMP program, and then each region individually would build on that. So this is pretty much, you know, it would give us the tools on how to approach it.
The designation process.
Yes, the designation process, exactly.
Yeah.
And so that's, we haven't received feedback yet, but we basically said, hey, this is where we're heading. You know, give us some feedback and see if perhaps this is an area where state board can also, you know, get involved, because it's not going to be an exclusive concern within our region.
And it's going to take staff resources
absolutely.
To go through this.
And
Mr. Moore, do you know, I mean, what we're speaking of? I mean, I don't know if I've talked to you about it one-on-one, but you know, we're about to go down this path of looking at individual LAMPs in our region and maybe designating some groundwater basins as impaired. Hasn't been done before. So, you know, we could use state board assistance with that. We have your thumbs up, yeah. Right?
Yeah. Anything you'd like to add, Mr. Harris? Okay. All right, so yes, it's being followed.
Yeah. He's so diplomatic, I tell you. He's been honed, finely honed, tuned.
All right. So I think at this time it would be appropriate to take a break. And so let's take a 15-minute break and reconvey at 10:25. Thank you.